Welcome to our class in Chassidus. We're going to be learning a beautiful Chassidic discourse from the Rebbe. The name of the Chassidic discourse is called V'hu Oymed Aleihem. The Rebbe said this Chassidic discourse from Shabbos Parshas Vayera, that year was the 20th day of the month of Mar Cheshvan, in the year Tafshin Yud Gimel, which is exactly 73 years ago. So again, the verse in this week's Torah portion, it says, V'hu Oymed Aleihem Tachas Ha'etz Vayechelu. Avram Avinu was standing over the angels under the tree, and the angels were eating. That's what the verse says. So Rebbe says we have to understand the connection between the part of the verse that it says he's standing on top of them to the fact that they're eating. In other words, this that it says that the angels vayechelu, they were eating. So we know there's two insights. One insight is that it looked like they were eating. They were angels. They don't eat, so it looked like they were eating. And that's actually what the Medrash says. The Medrash says they weren't eating, it looked like they were eating. The second insight is, no, they actually ate, the angels ate. And say, the Rebbe says, so also it seems in the Zohar and Parshas Toldos, and he brings what it says in the Talmud, Ozla Lakarta Avdis Kinimusa, which means when you go to a certain place, you behave like the place, and they bring the proof from the angels. And it doesn't say it looked like they were eating. So obviously from there comes that clearly they were eating. And also the Zohar says, this story it says by Yaave Kishimoy, that when the angel fought with Yaakov, what does that mean? That the angels, even though they're angels, are they able to clothe themselves into materialistic powers, and that's why they were able to struggle with him. And the proof they bring is from this verse where the angels actually literally ate. So you see that the second opinion is that they actually literally ate, both places in the Zohar. So the question is, what is the connection between Avram Avinu standing on top of them and they're eating based on both insights? Either according to the first insight, the Medrash says that it looked like they were eating, or according to the second insight, the teaching of the Zohar, that they literally ate. That's question number one. Also, we have to understand, what is the idea or the quality that the angels ate? Obviously, it's a huge quality that they ate. And the mere fact that Avraham Avinu was standing on top of them, that caused them to eat. So the question is, what is spiritually, what's this all about? First of all, understand this based on this verse in the Torah. It says, "V'imhei ochel yochel." So it says a double expression of eating. Why is there a double expression of eating? So Chazal explains, there's two types of eating that's taking place. And when they brought a sacrifice. One is the altar that's consuming the sacrifice, and the second eating is the priest. So imei achal yachal, there's two eatings. There's a part of the sack that the altar consumes, and there's a part that the priest consumes. So in other words, the part that the altar consumes, that's the eating of the sacrifice. And the part that the priest consumes, that's the eating of a human. And because of that, so the eating of a human is on the level of the altar consuming the sacrifice. So the question is, how do you compare an eating of a human to an eating of a sacrifice? Also, we have to understand that we find that there's a upgrade and there's an elevation in the eating of a human over eating of a sacrifice. Like it says clearly that the kohanim, the priests, eat, and then the owners are atoned. In other words, this that the altar was not able to accomplish, the atonement, when the kohen, when the priest, when the human being eats it, that accomplishes it. But the fact is, we know the eating of this, when you brought a sacrifice on the altar, we know that it says in the Zohar that the sacrifice goes to the highest level of Raza Dein Saif. I'll say the words in Hebrew, Raza the Kabana, Oilather Raza Dein Saif. The sacrifice goes to the level of infinite. So how can you say that in a certain level, the eating of a human is higher than eating of the altar, the sacrifice? So Rebbe explains and he says as follows. What is the idea of a korban, a sacrifice? They literally took a physical animal and they put it on the altar. And what happened? It went ahead and it elevated to the level of Aryeh, a lion, of that ate the sacrifice. In other words, what does that mean practically? So when they brought the sacrifice on the altar, so first it went into the image of an ox, Pneisher, And then afterwards, it went into the image of a lion. And like the Zohar says, arid uchel karbana. What does that mean on a practical level? It's referring to the level of malchut of Atzilus. And we know the level of malchus, the lowest level of Atzilus, which malchus is the source for all the energy in the world of Bri Yetzir Asiyah. In other words, so the elevation of a sacrifice goes to where? To the level of Aryeh, which is the level of Malchus of Atzilus, which is the source of Bri Yetzir Asiyah. That's sacrifices. And that's why, which be based on this, to explain something beautiful, that's why, where did they bring the sacrifices? They brought it on the outer altar. We know there's the inner altar and the outer. It was brought on the outer or outer altar, which was in the courtyard of the tabernacle. Why is that? Never explains like this. In the Beit HaMikdash, and the same thing also in the tabernacle, there were three different areas that correspond to three different worlds. One world, as we know, is the infinite worlds, before the world of Atzilut. Olam Ein Sof, infinite before Atzilus. Then you have the world of Atzilut, and then you have the world of Bri Yetzir Asiyah. And in the temple, there were three areas corresponding to each one of these levels. The Holy of Holies corresponded to the Ein Sof, the infinite world before Atzilus. The Tent of Meeting and the Heichal, that's correspond to the world of Atzilus. The courtyard and the chambers of the Mishkan is corresponds to the world of Bri Yetzir and Asiyah. So therefore, where do they bring the sacrifice? On the outer altar, in the courtyard of the Mishkan, so which is connected to the idea of Malchus, and the way Malchus is a source to Bri Yetzir and Asiyah. Then when they would go ahead and bring the sacrifice, it would get elevated to where? To Malchus and Atzilus, which way? It's a source to Bri Yetzir and Asiyah. And basically, the procedure was, when you would bring a sacrifice, a physical sacrifice, it would go into the face of ox, like we learned before, and when it goes into its source, which is only in the world of Yetzirah, but when it would be consumed through the energy of Yetzirah, it would get elevated to the level of Bria, and when it would be transformed through the world of Bria, it actually went into the level of Malchus, of Atzilus, the way it was a source to Bri Yetzirah Asiyah. Why is that? As we know, the source of everything physical in this world, where does everything come from? It comes from, we know, from the world of Toyu. That's when there was the light was too strong for the vessels, and that's called world of Toyu. And there's two types of transformation that takes place. One is a transformation which is called in Kabbalah Lamaila Lamata, from the higher level to the lower level. And then there's a transformation which is called Milmata Lamaya, from the lower level to the higher level. The first transformation, when you're transforming, bringing down light from the higher level to the lower level, what does that mean? So right after you had the breaking of the vessels of Olam HaToyu, so everything fell down to the world of Bria, and then when you go ahead and transform it, the choicest part becomes part of the world of Bria, and afterwards things fell down to the world of Yetzirah, and then it gets transformed again. And then when it gets transformed, so the better part stays in the world of Yetzirah, and what wasn't transformed falls down to the world of Asiyah, and then it gets transformed again, and through the transformation of then, that's when you have the world of Asiyah. So that's called the way it went down from the highest levels, from Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. What's a transformation from below on high? That's when a person does the work, when we do our work in this physical world, world of Asiyah, so you create a transformation. And the best part, the transformed part, gets elevated to the world of Yetzirah. And then when you have the transformation in the world of Yetzirah, so then the better part gets transformed in the world of Bria. And when you transform the world of Bria, the best part goes what? Into the world of Malchus of Atzilus. And that's basically the whole spiritual idea of the sacrifices. That the animal gets transformed in Yetzirah. And then from Yetzirah it goes on higher to the world of Bria. And then when it gets transformed in the world of Bria, which we said is the lion that eats the sacrifice, so then it goes into the level of Malchus, of Atzilus, and over there it receives the masculine water from Zoh. But the elevation goes till Malchus of Atzilus. Now, even though that the transformation already took place when the world was created, but the fact is, the transformation of what that took place from the creation of the world, that's the way it comes down from high below. and what applies to every single world. But nevertheless, we still have to do the journey. Now we have to bring it from this world and elevate it higher, because the transformation that happened when Hashem created the world, that's where in the primiyat olam, in the internal part of the world. But the external part of the world was not transformed. And if we have a second transformation that goes from the lowest level to the highest level to transform the external worlds. In other words, basically the whole world and the whole idea of the sacrifice is to transform all the sparks that fell down into Noiga. And when you bring the sacrifice, they go elevated from one level to the next till they reach level Machas or Atzilut, the way it's a source to Biyah. And through that, Malchus of Atzilus gets elevated to Atzilus and receives, like we said before, from the feminine, the masculine waters of Zohar. And that's why when we go ahead and we bring a sacrifice on the altar, it's called Avoidas HaKabonis, the work of the sacrifice, and we call it the eating of the altar. The altar eats it, and we don't call it the human eating it. Why? Because humans are in the level of Zohar, Zeram from the small face. And the elevation that happens through a sacrifice is only, we said, is only to Malchus. And that's why it's called the eating of the altar. And it was eating on the level of Malchus. Now, even though later on when it goes to that level, it receives some Zohar, but we said again, it's not in the same level of a human eating it. Because when a human eats it, we actually, the human gets energy from it, and then it's a much whole different level of elevation. But when you bring the sacrifice, it's not, you don't transform the level of Zohar, but you only reach the level of Malchus Atzilus, which then receives from Zohar. Now, even though we know that the, well, quote from the Zohar, it says, Raza de Karbona Oila Ad Raza de Insaif, we're saying it only reaches Malchus Atzilus. We know that it reaches the infinite part of Hashem. And the Raza de Insaif is higher than Malchus. And it's much higher than the world. And that's one of the reasons why that the sacrifice create atonement. Because you're reaching the Insaif. Because why? Because when a person sins, what does that mean? You went against Torah and Mitzvot. And Torah and Mitzvot is on a very, very high level. But the fact is the sacrifice can create atonement because the sacrifices reach a place which is higher than Torah and Mitzvot. Because when you bring a sacrifice of a physical animal, so what happens is when you bring the sacrifice, it goes to its source, in the source of Toyu, which is even higher than the world's. But the fact is, even though it reaches higher, Toyu has a connection to the world. Why is that? And there are explains like this. When it comes to Torah, Torah is pnimius. It's internal. You learn it, you comprehend it, it's internal. Mitzvah is makif. It surrounds us. But they surround over the vessels. In other words, the meaning says that even though it surrounds, but it has a connection to the vessel. However, when you're dealing with the lights of Toyu, it's even higher than Toyu Mitzvahs. Why? Because the fact is, we know in the world of Toyu, there was powerful lights, huge amount of lights. And it wasn't only quantitatively a lot of lights, but qualitatively it was heavy, heavy light in the lights of Toyu. In other words, the light of Toyu was a whole different league. You know, in the way it's called, it's Bein Arach, you can't compare. Now, even though and in the world of Tikkun, where basically the light fills the vessel, and as we know that the light that was created on the first day, you were able to look, Adam was able to look from one part of the world to the other, and it was so powerful that God said it's too powerful to use, and Hashem put it away for the future. So in other words, you see that you have such a powerful light in the world, but doesn't mean that it was a lot in quantity, but the fact is it's a whole different league. And that's why it says that the world couldn't handle it. So obviously, if the light that was created in the first day, which is the light of Tikkun, we couldn't handle it, so how much more so when you're dealing with the light of Toyu, which is obviously not only quantitative, but quality much stronger. And also, as we know, that light of Toyu is not like a cause and effect, one thing causes the next, but it's a whole different league. It's a whole different league compared to the light in the world. And therefore, when you have, we're dealing with the light of Toyu, and you reach the light of Toyu, and the sacrifice reaches the light of Toyu, then all the blemishes, all the sins, all the things that were broken gets totally filled up, and it's totally repaired from any sin that was done. Because when a person brings a sacrifice, you reach the level of Toyu. Now, but nevertheless, as great as a sacrifice is, and it reaches Toyo, and that's where the power that create that can go ahead and atone for a sin. But the fact is, it has a connection to the world, because let's think about Toyo. You had this huge amount of light, and the vessels weren't able to handle it. But the fact is, there's a light, there's a vessel. Yeah, there was too much light, but there's a connection between the two, because the light is connected to the vessel, and the vessel is connected to the light. The only problem was it was too small. It wasn't strong enough, and therefore, the vessel wasn't able to be felt because it was too small. Why was that? Because we know the vessel is supposed to be a vessel to receive, but the vessel was yearning, and therefore it brought in a lot of light because it wanted the light. But the problem is the light wasn't able to settle in the vessel. And the truth, they're connected. Because the vessel was in a level of it was yearning, that's why it caused an attraction of an intense amount of light. And it attracted a light which is not calm. And and that's why the light was not calm in the vessel. And because of that, because the vessel wasn't just sitting there and waiting to receive the light, it wanted the light, so it brought in more light, it was drawing light, and that's why the vessel broke. But why did the vessel break? Because obviously the light and the vessel have some kind of a relationship. The vessel, had it been calm, it wouldn't have pulled in too much light, the light would have came in and would have sat. But because the vessel wanted the light came and attracted and it blew up. But you do see that there's a connection between the light and the vessel. Now, so therefore, when you brought a sacrifice, what did you draw down? You draw down a very, very powerful light, but not a new light. It wasn't a new light. Now, even though when you bring a sacrifice, you're bringing in, we said, the light of Toyu, but it's not a new light. Why? Because the light of Toyu has some kind of connection with Tikkun. It's too strong, but it's still a connection. Because Toyu and Tikkun, even though one is too much light and one is fits, but there is some kind of relationship. Because the whole idea of Toyu is to create Tikkun. And like it says, Hashem built in order to destroy, and destroyed in order to build. So in other words, the building and the breaking of Toyu is because of Tikkun. And even though it's connected more to the vessels of Toyu, but the fact is that the breaking was in the vessels, and from those breaking in the vessels, that's how you created the world of Tikkun. And then the light left. But since the vessels of Toyu are connected to Tikkun, and the light of Toyu has a connection with the vessel of Toyu, so that therefore there is still a connection, as wild as it is, there's still a connection between Toyu and Tikkun. And therefore, Toyu, as great as it is, and it's huge, powerful light, but it's not a new light. It's a wild light, but it's not a new light. But back to the point, what's the story trying to bring out? That when it comes to a sacrifice, you reach Malchus Vatzilut, and you reach even higher, you reach Toyu, and that Toyu is great and fixes everything. But remember, as great and powerful as Toyu is connected to Tikkun, and it's not a new light. However, when the Kohen went ahead and ate the sacrifice, which is called Achilat Adam, when the human being ate it, then you bring in a new light. A light which is higher than the world. Why is that? Because like we learned before, Adam, human being, animal only reaches Malchus of Atzilus. But the Adam is a level of Zer Ampin, which is higher than Malchus. And like it says clearly, on Val Dumus Hakisei, Dumus Kamar Adam, on the image of the seat is the image of a human being, which is a level of Zah. And Zah is part of the infinite, part of the infinite worlds. And like the author explains clearly in Torah and Parashas Truma, based on the verse that when it says Kruv Echad Mikatzavzeh, Kruv Echad Mikatzavzeh, that it's basically two different extremes. And as on one hand, it's the highest level of creation, which is Malchus. But on the other hand, you have the level of Zoh, which is the end of the infinite worlds. So even though it's the end, but the fact that it's part of the creation himself. But here you need to bring in that powerful light. How do you bring in that new light? That's when a person goes ahead and actually eats and consumes the energy. And even though he's part of the infinite worlds, But in but nevertheless, because he's the end of the infinite worlds, so he's from the level of where there's a beginning and the end. So therefore, it's part of the ray, which doesn't really have any doesn't really exist. And you have to bring in the level of Zoh from the level of which is higher worlds. And how does that happen? That happens when the priest ate it. In other words, so when the human being, the priest, which is like the eating of a human, draws down, what does he draw down? A brand new light, which is higher than the worlds. And it's not only, it's not like cause and effect, but it's literally a brand new light, which is much higher than the worlds. Now, so to recap, before we go forward, so everybody's explaining like this. What happens is in the temple, there was two types of eatings. There was one eating where basically they brought the sacrifice on the altar, and that went from the world of Asiya, Yetzira, Bria, to what? To the level of Malchus of Atzilus. And from there, it drew in higher light. But that's it. And it reached level of Toyu, and that caused the atonement. But only Toyu, which has connected the world of Tikkun. On the other hand, when the priest ate it and it came into his body, he was able to reach level of Zoh of Atzilus, and he was able to bring in a whole brand new light that never existed before. Everybody goes on to say as follows. Just like in the times of the temple, there was two ideas. The eating of the altar, which again, we reached Malchus of Atzilus, and eating of the priest, which reaches Zoh, which can bring in a new light. So the same thing also observes us today. There's two types of eating. What type? Two types of eating? There's the eating that we eat during the week, and the eating we eat on Shabbat, which is compared to the eating of the altar, and compared to the eating of the priest. In other words, when we eat during the week, what is that eating during the week? That's transformation. And like he quotes from the prophets with Mishlei, where it says, Tzadik oichel l'soiva nafshe, a tzadik eats, he's satiated. Obetim reshoim techser, a wicked person eats and he's always full, he's always lacking, he's never full, he always wants more and more and more. So what is that referring to? That's during the week. We're always, when it's not enough and we want more, and the more we eat, we're still hungry. And that's like eating of the altar. And eating on Shabbat, it's bringing in a whole new light. And that's what we eat in Shabbat. It's like the first half of the verse where it says, Tzadik oichel esayven ashrei. You eat a little bit and you're satiated. And that's like eating of the priests. And what does that mean? Derek explains this. When we eat during the week, what does that mean? We're transforming. What does it mean we're transforming? There's good and there's bad. And we have to take out the good from the bad, or the bad from the good. Like the Zohar says, clearly, Nama pum charba leichel, that when you're sitting down to eat, it's war. What does it mean it's war? That the physical world food is from the klipot of noiga. And in Noiga, there's a mix of good and bad. And a person in his nature, we're drawn to food. And because we're drawn to the food can literally bring you down. And that's the war that a person has to have with himself. Not only the food, Godfrey, shouldn't bring you down, but you should go ahead and take full control and transform the food and elevate it to holiness. So this is a very important piece. Rebbe is saying this, when we are naturally drawn to food, because we're drawn to food, the food can suck us in. We can eat it and get sick, literally, from eating too much and unhealthy foods and so on and so forth. So there's two jobs. One is make sure you don't get drawn down to it. The food doesn't pull you in. And the second thing is take control, transform the food. How? Before you eat, make a blessing, have proper thoughts. You're going to elevate the food. Then when you eat it, have proper intentions. And when you finish, you make another blessing to elevate the whole experience. That's what happens during the week when we're eating. It's a struggle. Now, how does a transformation take place? The transformation takes place when we reveal our godly soul. Why is that? Since the human being, from his animal soul perspective, and how much more so from his body perspective, he's drawn naturally to the physical food. And therefore, it's possible, not only you're not going to elevate the food, but sadly, the food is going to pull you down. And therefore, the transformation, when you go ahead and reveal your godly soul, that's when transformation happens. Because if you lead up to your animal soul and your body, you're in trouble. So you have to bring the godly soul has to take charge of what you're eating. And because of that, Torah has a diet. What's the diet? You're not allowed to eat until you pray. And like it says clearly, you cannot eat on the blood. What does that mean? You should not eat until you pray about on your blood. No, those are specifically when a person, the first thing you do, you have to pray. What's the idea of prayer? Why are you praying? Because when you're praying, you're actually bringing out your godly soul. You're revealing your godly soul. And specifically after, and only after you bring your godly soul onto the table, and you bring him, make him in charge of your life, then you can go ahead and start transformation. But without the introduction of praying, and since we know a prayer is all about idea of a war, and basically in a war, what happens? The other side is trying to win over. Like it says clearly, it's a real war. So you cannot have transformation. But when you start praying, which basically means you affect upon yourself to reveal your godly soul, now you have a chance of winning the war. But during the transformation, you can't all of a sudden, hey, call out the godly soul while you're in the middle of the war. Because the fact is, the food already took charge, and it's bringing you down, and it's getting you engrossed in the materialism. But what happens beforehand? You affect and you say, no, I want to bring my godly soul first to the table. Then you have a chance of being able to eat healthy and not only not getting sucked in, but more importantly, transforming the food. So what do we see from here? That when you're eating during the week, you're not bringing new light, but you're bringing light into the world. You're bringing light into the food. And you're revealing the light by taking it out from the darkness. So that's during the week. During the week, it's not a new light. You're bringing your godly soul, and you're bringing out the godliness in the food. However, when it comes on Shabbos, you know, Shabbos, there's no transformation. Because we know even according to Jewish law, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to go ahead and transform the food. You're not allowed to go start picking through the food. You're not allowed to go pick this out, pick that out. Because during the week, we know, yes, the Mishnah tells us all the ways of cooking and plowing and planting, etc. And you have to sift things out. But Shabbos, you're not allowed to do any of that stuff. Because on Shabbos, there's no such thing as a mix of good and bad. And as we know, this is very important, Er Shabbat, after midday, the evil leaves from the good. It's 100, everything's good. And the evil goes away. It goes away, Er Shabbat. Now, even though we don't feel it, but the fact is, in reality, the truth is, that's what happens. That the evil goes away from the good. And like once the Tzemach Tzedek asked the Alter Rebbe, his grandfather, since in Shabbat there's no mix of good and bad, it's all good, how come we don't see it? And the Alter Rebbe answered him, because the transformation takes place on an internal level. And that's why we know you can't go ahead, like you said, you can't go ahead and separate certain things. But therefore, what happens in Shabbat, so what are you doing then? If we're not transforming, during the week we're transforming the good from the bad and we're trying to get the good out. So what are we doing on Shabbat? On Shabbat, you're bringing in a whole new light. What type of light? Above the worlds. And therefore, when it comes to eating on Shabbat, you bring a new light, but you still have to pray first. And on the contrary, maybe more than during the week, because you're bringing in a new light. And that's why Shabbat has to be a longer prayer. So the Rebbe explains like this. During the week, there's war going on to transform the good out of the bad. And if you need the godly soul, so you have to pray first. On Shabbat, there's no transformation. You bring a new light. So therefore, you for sure need a godly soul to bring the light to the table. And therefore, what happens is, we're going to go a step further. On the three meals in Shabbat, we say, I'll quote, Atika Kadisha, Asyun Lasahada, Bahadei or Bahada. Two different ways to say it. What is Atika Kadisha? Is referring to the light which is above the worlds. What does that mean? Even though, which on Shabbat, even though during the week, we can bring in Atika Kadisha, which means you can bring in tiny, you can bring in real pleasure. Like it says in reference to all the 6 days of creation, creation, besides the second day where it was a conflict, so every single day it says, but God said it was good. So you see there was Toid, there was good, there was Tainug. But you can't compare to the Tainug and Shabbat. Why? Because the 6 days of the week, the pleasure is connected to something. And basically, it's not a refined good. Now, it's connected with the idea of Chachma. But even though Chachma is the first of the Sfirot, but the fact is, even Chachma is a something. And since the tiny, the pleasure is connected to something, so it's only a ray from the essential pleasure. In other words, the pleasure comes when it gets contracted down and comes into Chachmah. And that's why when it came to creation, it says, well, who created the world? It doesn't say Yud Kei Vav Kei, it says Shem Elokim. Like it says, V'yara Elokim Ki Toiv. And we know it says 32 times in the beginning of creation, the Shem Elokim, which is basically all the idea of contraction. And the pleasure that comes down in the level of Moichas Dima, which is the internal intellect, and from the Chachmah comes down to the 32 strands of Chachmah, which is comes down again, contracted into Bina, and from Bina gets contracted into the 50 levels of Bina, which is again a contraction into Zah, and from Zah gets contracted into Malchus through the different contractions. So in other words, even though in the 6 days of creation it says it was good, and even when the second day doesn't say good twice, it says twice in the third day. But nevertheless, what type of pleasure it? It's a contracted. It's a finite pleasure. And that's when during the week. But Shabbos it says, Vayichal Lakim Vayim Shvi'i. That means God finished. There's no more contractions. Vayichal Lakim, there's no more contraction of Hashem Lakim. And any type of contraction goes away. And therefore what comes down and what kind of pleasure? A pleasure which is not contracted. It's the essential pleasure. And it's not coming connected with intellect, but like what says in the Zohar, the internal part of Abba, which internal part of Chachma, which is Pnimius Atik. And because when the Taina comes in the external part of Chachma, so therefore Chachma and Taina is two separate things. And those Taina does not become one with Chachma. And like we see clearly, when someone shears a intellectual idea, the intellect gets very, very happy, gets pleasure. But what happens when the intellect, you know, becomes an old idea? You don't feel it. Why is that? Because intellect and pleasure is two different things. Because if the intellect became one with the pleasure, so the pleasure would always been there. But the fact is intellect and pleasure is two separate things. But that's where all in the external Chachmah. But when we're dealing with the internal Chachmah, so we know Pnimius Abba, the internal Chachmah, goes to Pnimius Atik, which means Chachmah becomes one with Tainug, because it's not a ray, but it's literally the essential Tainug, and that's Pnimius Atik. And on Shabbos, we have the power, we get drawn down as Pnimius Atik, which means on Shabbat comes down a new light which is higher than the worlds. Okay, so now, and this idea is the same difference between the way a tzaddik eats and the way a regular person eats, or lower than a regular person. Why? Because a regular average person, someone lower than an average person, is on the level, like it says in Proverbs, the verse that we quoted before, Obet Mashem Techser, that you're eating and you're never full. But on the other hand, a tzaddik eats, like the verse says, tzaddik eats, he's always happy, he's always satiated. So he explains this, he brings that a verse that says that I'm going to, a Zeratius basis, so I'm going to plant in the Jewish people, Zera Adam, the seed of an Adam, and a Zera Ebema, the seed of an animal. What does that mean? That the souls of an average person or a wicked person is spiritually called the seed of an animal. And the soul and the souls of a tzaddik is considered the seed of an Adam, a human being. What's the difference between the work of a soul of Zera Adam versus the work of someone that's in the level of Zera Behema? Because the soul of a person which is on the level of Zera Behema, it's called Das Tachta, in the lower level of Das. And the work of the soul of Zera Adam is called Das Eli, in the higher level of Das. What does that mean? When a person looks from the perspective of Das Tachta, in the way a lower level thinker thinks, what does Das Tachta think? That creation was me'ayin liyesh, from nothing to something. In other words, what are we saying? That down here is yesh, this is real. Up on high, God, he's nothing. But even though you know and you feel that the infinite God is what created you and maintains you, and the only reason why you're here is because God is creating and maintaining you, but what are you calling God? You're calling him ayin nothing? Because what he sees, he calls yesh, and what he doesn't see, he calls it nothing. So therefore, the level of bittul acceptance from someone who's living on a level of das tachtoin, it's called bittul ayesh. The most he can totally accept is that his physical existence accepts. Now, even though he's accepting God, but the fact is, and because he knows that God is the one that created him, but it's only an acceptance from that he agrees to accept it. He knows he's a somebody, but he's agreeing that, yeah, God created the world. Now, obviously, the Rebbe says there's even a lower level. You can't compare to someone that's a yesh that it's accepting versus a yesh that's loving, because what happens like this, when someone is on the level of, I'm a somebody and I love Hashem. So I'm a somebody and I love Hashem. Why do I love Hashem? Because I chose to love Hashem. So there's me loving Hashem. I'm even more in existence. However, when I'm accepting, I'm accepting. I agree Hashem is one. But the fact is, again, it's still coming from yourself. And that's therefore the level of what? That the person is bottled. That's called das tachtei. Now, since the whole spiritual work of Zera Behema, where can we reach to, from our perspective? Bittul Ayesh, I accept. I see the world as real, I'm accepting Hashem runs the world. So that's why we have, from the perspective of Zera Behema, Bittul Ayesh, you can do transformation. Why? Since I'm a somebody, and I see a mix of good and I see a bad, so I need to pull out the good from the bad. And that's where it says that the stomach of a wicked person is always not full, because he's always busy elevating the sparks of which are laying in the klipot, and you have to elevate it. That's all the work of what, of Zera Behema. However, when it comes to the work of someone that's in the Zera Adam, a seed of human being, what does that mean? That's what we call Das Elyoin. What's this perspective of Das Elyon? If you're a higher elevated person that has real Das, realizes Hashem is real. Everything in this world is nothing. Lamaila is yesh. Everything down here, it's nothing. It's ayin, it's nothing. And knows everything in this world is ayin v'efes. It doesn't exist. True, it exists because God gives it its existence, but there's no power in it. So therefore, if you're living on the perspective of God is real and this is all nothing, what can you elevate? There's nothing to elevate. There's nothing here. What's here to elevate? Because when you feel that God is everything and down here is nothing, so it affects you in this world, and you're not limited, and the world doesn't limit you. And like it's brought down from the Baal Shem Tov, that the Baal Shem Tov would say that space does not conceal, doesn't block. And he was able to see far away, just like you can see right here. Whatever you're seeing in front of you, the Baal Shem Tov was able to see far away. And it wasn't a prophecy, but literally he was able to see it. Why? Because when you're on the level of a tzaddik, and Rebbe says, even though the story's about it, the Baal Shem Tov applies to every tzaddik, that since they feel in their soul that everything is Hashem, so that affected the world. And it's not limited. There's no limit. The world doesn't create any limitation. And they're able to see far, like close, because they saw everything is Hashem. And they didn't see the world as an opposition. And therefore, far and close is all the same thing. Now, even though it's in the confinement of space, but the fact is, the way they confined space was they connected to the way space is not limited to space. Like we know in the temple, it says the place of the ark did not take up any room. Even though if you measured the ark, it did take up a certain amount of space, the width, the length, and the height, but nevertheless, it was in the Holy of Holies. But so even though it took up space, but it didn't take up space. And the same thing also by Baal Shem Tov, that the space that was not a real existence. Because when it comes to a tzaddik, the physical world, there is no limitations of space. And therefore, on that level, there's nothing to transform. And so therefore, what is the idea of a tzaddik? Why is a tzaddik eating? So it says, a tzaddik oicha, like the prophet says, l'soiv v'nafshei. What does that mean, l'soiv v'nafshei? To bring in new light. And you bring it in the level of Zah, Zerampin, and through Zah it comes into Malchus, and that's what it means, Tzadik Oichel L'Soiva Nafshoi, which basically Nafshoi's Malchus, the Tzadik brings the light into Malchus. Now, this is the difference also between souls and angels. Because souls are able to bring in a light above the world, a new light. However, an angel, if they're going to bring in a new light, they're going to totally not exist. They're totally going to disappear. Like it says clearly, Hashem put his finger between the angel and he burnt them up. By bringing in light into the angels, you have to bring a light that they can handle. If you bring it more than they can handle, they're not going to exist. However, when it comes to souls, even though we are a physical human being, we have the power, miraculously, God gave us the power to bring in a light which is not limited to the world. Why is that? Because angels are creations. And in a creation, you can't bring a light which is more powerful than it exists. And even when they're on a mission, they're totally in a level of acceptance, and up to the point they're called in the name of Hashem. Like Hashem spoke in front of me, or like I swear in the name of Hashem. But basically, what kind of level of acceptance? Bitul Hayesh. They accept, but they still have to exist. You know, they still remain an existence. And therefore, they cannot receive such a powerful light. However, souls is what God made them a creation. And because we are a creation of God, so therefore we can receive a much powerful light which is higher than us. We have the capacity to handle much higher light. Now, so that's from an angel's perspective, an angel cannot receive anything higher, otherwise he's not going to exist. If they receive something higher, they're totally going to disappear. And that's why an angel is called someone that stands. Because even when they would grow, they only grow within their world. But through the work of a soul, and especially a soul of a tzaddik, the tzaddik can affect in the angel that the angel should be able to receive the new light which is above the worlds. And now there was going to explain beautifully. That's why it says, "V'hu oimed aleihem, tachas ha'etz." Avram was standing on top of them under the tree and they were eating. Because Avram Avinu, who's a soul of a tzaddik, was standing on top of them, he was able to affect within them achilas adam, to bring in a new light. Because the angel on his own cannot receive it. But when Avram Avinu did his work, he was able to affect that they should reach the level of achilas adam, and they can bring in a new light above the world in that they can experience. And everything you can say, possibly say, just like it's with a soul and an angel, that Avram Avinu was able to affect in the angel, they were able to see the new light. Because even though the angel cannot on their own reach the level of achilas adam, but through the soul they're able to reach it. So the Rebbe said the same thing also you can say when it comes to souls of the soul of a Zera Adam, which we said is a tzaddik, and the soul of a Zera Behema, which is the souls of a regular person. Now, even though a regular person is all about transformation, because most they can do is bitul hayesh, because you're struggling with negativity, but that's from on your own, you can do that. But through the work of a tzaddik, it affects in the souls, the regular souls, that they can reach the level of achilas adam, which means they can bring in the new light, which is higher than the world. And like it says in the verse, kisik ne'ever divri, that Moshe Rabbeinu affected in the soul the level of ever divri. And like it says, v'nasati esav esadcha l'bnecha, that even in the souls of the Zera Behema, he was able to draw into him the level of esav. And everyone will understand it, how much more so the way souls affect in angels, that they were able to have achilas adam, like we say, like what says in reference to Avraham Avinu, that just like angels, that they're creations, but nevertheless the soul can affect in them, they can receive the new light. How much more so when it comes to the soul of an average person, which is what God created them. And this that God created them applies to a tzaddik and a regular person as well. So even a soul of a Zera Behema, and how much more so, when they connect to the soul of a tzaddik, you're able to also experience the idea of achilas adam. Now, even though on your own, you're still struggling, and you're still struggling with the negativity, and even in the level of Beinoni, there's many, many levels, but even on the highest level of a Beinoni, which is basically all about transformation. And like we know, it says in the prophets, whoever cleaves to an animal, you become like an animal. And especially, and everyone knows where they're holding on their level. But that's where you're holding on yourself. But when you go ahead and you connect to a tzaddik, you're able to reach the level of achila sodom, which means you have the power to bring in new light, which is above the world and the infinite light. And that's why the verse says, "V'hu oimed aleihem." Avraham Avinu was standing on top of them. Tachas eitz, under the tree, by Yechelu, and they were eating. In other words, the mere fact that he was standing, Avraham Avinu, the tzaddik, was standing on top of them, and he was connected to them, and they were connected to him. So he affected by Yechelu, that they can eat, what level of Achilas Adam? They can eat like a human being. In other words, they can bring in a new light. When you're able to bring in the infinite light, whoever is connected to the tzaddik in this world, and through that you'll have added energy in learning Torah and doing mitzvot. Here you have a beautiful, powerful chassidic class in the Rebbe, and the fact is, the Rebbe teaches us that we have the power through connecting to our tzaddik to literally bring in the greatest lights, new lights into the world. And even though normally sometimes we struggle with different things, we can escape it all. By connecting to tzaddik, we can focus on just bringing a new light to the world, and we don't have to deal with all the struggles in life. So let's hope and pray we connect to tzaddik, we experience the greatest revelations, with the ultimate revelation of coming Mashiach, and next class will be in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. Have a great and blessed week. Shavua Tov.